Different.
It does
to
not
ours.
Look like ours.
It's like so different.
Like better.
Yeah,
or
I thought you were drinking beer or cider or something. Actually. Okay, cool.
It's that kind of party.
Can you imagine a beer or cider?
I would never. Well, since we've got everybody here, guys, finally we're at our Black is King review. I'm going to give our in-depth analysis into what we thought about it, what we liked, what we didn't like, and what did you like about it? Like, what were your favorite scenes? I think that's like the best way. Obviously, watching it, because I watched the trailer and I had a certain opinion, and then almost like 10 minutes into the actual Black is King film, I was just like, how could I have messed up so bad? Because the moment it started, I'm like, okay, at a certain point, you have to realize that Beyonce is Beyonce, and the level of product that she's going to give to you isn't going to be some half-ass project that she's just going to throw out into the world. So my two favorite scenes were Find Your Way Back, because it was sickening from the beginning to the end. Like, the moment you had that drone shot just descending towards Beyonce in the desert and all the looks that she served in that whole music video, I was just like, who is doing this? She was literally dancing on top of the universe. Who is doing that? Who is dancing on the universe in glitter boots, a glitter outfit head to toe? Like, she was in crystals, she was in the ocean, there were explosions. Like, when have we seen this before? So that was my fave. And then I'm also just going to throw in the Already music video, because that cow/cattle outfit with her hair just swinging and she's doing this, you can never. Hair just waving like that with such grace, you could never. Like, it was sickening. So those are my two favorite scenes.
Also definitely Already, and My Power, just because of Moonchild and Busiso, obviously. Like, that song Already just gives me like vibes, but yeah, seeing them just strutting their stuff in their red suits, it was like, it was hot. And even the fact that like I had to like look for Beyonce, I was obviously looking at, you know, my this is the African woman especially, but also Beyonce, and is the other artist Yemi, is that her name?
Yeah,
the other artist. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I felt like it was quite a moment, and just seeing that completely in space of the work as a whole, the piece of work as a whole, but Already also for that that cow slash whatever. Yeah, I was finished, and with the zebra outfit as well, or striped outfit as well, just like, and
man.
The hair, I was just getting finished. Yeah, no, I was really like, oh my god, Beyonce, take me now, like.
Let's I was taking notes, like taking notes. Yeah. Okay, style the pom poms.
I saw some people trying to do the pom poms. It was a big ghetto, and some people did it really well.
finished.
There's only one Beyonce, guys. Only one.
But you have to try. She gave us like
no. You have to try,
and we have to do our best.
She makes you feel like it's possible.
Like, oh, possible. Little bunty knot and the wrist braids. Okay, I can do that too.
And a grill. Just throw in a grill and a blazer with no pants.
Why? You could never. Who's doing this? I die.
I loved the intro. I thought that music video in the beginning was very beautiful just because of the symbolism of the sun and that everything began. I believe that the sun is a very important symbol in Africa. So I thought that was important that she acknowledged it as an opening scene. So I love that. And I also loved the My Power as well. I thought that was hectic. I loved it. I loved the visuals. Yeah. I loved everything about it. I love how, even like what you say, seeing all of the South Africans, I'm like, yay, South Africa showing up. And I even forgot it was Beyonce's thing, so I was like, ready, you know?
Oh, God. Girl, don't
are you sure?
Then also, I also really loved the desert scene. What did you say it was? I forgot.
Find your way back.
Yeah. I thought that was so beautiful. The visuals were beautiful. Everything
was very beautiful. And she directed
it. Hey?
She directed that music video.
Nice, 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 nice.
My favorite, I think, all time was Brown Skin Girl. That was my favorite. I loved Kelly in it. My favorite part of that video was actually Kelly's white dress. Out of everything, that was probably my favorite look.
So beautiful.
Yeah, it was really
nice. Even the way they actually, like, what I don't know what they call that effect, but the effect in Brown Skin Girl is beautiful. Like, you know, when they have that hazy effect on her dress,
yeah,
it was stunning. Her silhouette and everything was stunning,
beautiful. And literally, the way that they were singing to each other, like they were friends, like they were just appreciating one another. Like,
yeah,
you guys can stop looking at me like that. Like, what the
yeah. Even Naomi was there. I was like, Naomi Campbell.
Nobody. Beyonce gave a call. She said, I'll be right there. Mbali, what were your favorite scenes?
I mean, what wasn't?
Oh my gosh, the drama.
I also really enjoyed Power. I thought the visuals were beautiful. I loved Blue, and like her innocence of cool was just beautiful, of how she's replicating her mom. I loved, I even liked Busi Siwe, and I loved Moonchild. I just loved the whole coordination and combination of that, and how she always like gave a forefront to South African artists. Like, genuinely, I think that's a lot, and it says a lot about her as a person and what she was trying to do. I also just love Mood Forever. I'm sorry, the gully between Jay-Z and Beyonce is just like,
seriously,
like, what are you doing to us? Like, and the way she strutted in that blue dress, and the way that guy was holding the dress, and then just her mood when she was walking in that leopard dress, and she was just like, I've got my cup up to the heavens. It's just like, listen, guys, like, whether you like me or not, this is my Mood Forever. And I just think that, like, that's like an African pride that I think even Africans have to a large extent. Like, for how long have people not recognized how beautiful our like culture is, how people are, everything about us? And I just like the arrogance and the fact that, is it safe for me to say that a Caucasian guy was actually like, the roles were reversed? It's just like a different way of showing things, especially her, like on the Disney network and doing that. What? I think that was like incredible and quite gully and gutsy. That it was just gutsy, the whole thing. Yeah, I loved it. I like all of it.
Yeah, because I'm usually not a fan of people like flaunting their wealth. But when you do it like that, you can't help but just say, like, okay,
you can.
Hands down.
You can.
I accept.
You can.
Like, do your thing.
The thing is that, like, it was all different representations of, like, African life, because Africans are known as royalty. And I think that, like, we tend to forget that. Like, we're not just these, like, nomads. Like, we actually, like, civilization started with us. And it's just, like, it's beautiful to like see someone celebrating it on that level and not being apologetic. Do you get what I'm saying? I wasn't like, it wasn't crass. It was just, it was good. Yeah. And it had like that swag of like an African, you know? Just loved it. Loved it, loved it.
Yeah, I like everything was my favorite. I actually had to watch it in two sittings, to be honest, because the first half, I think I just got too overwhelmed. It was really, really, really pretty and just beautiful to watch. So we had to like cut it because I was like crying in my sofa. And then after that, I actually listened to the full album and I heard Brown Skin Girl. And like when I hear those kinds of songs, I always find them to be kind of cheesy.
100%. But then
when I saw the visual to it, I was like, wow, like that, wow. It took my breath away. It really just was stunning, like in all aspects. Like I'm crying now, like talking about it, because just like the thought of like a little girl watching that, it was just like a little black girl watching that. I was like, I just wish I had something like that when I was growing up. And then just like you then think about like everything that I was, like everything I've seen when I grew up as a black girl, and that just does not compare to this video. It's just like, wow, like I love being a black girl. It's amazing like to be in this skin. So I think that was one of my favorite parts of the whole thing. And then also I agree, like every scene with Blue, I was like living for it. Like all the little wigs and her little sunglass, like, I really dig that. So I enjoyed seeing the entire family the most, especially Blue and her part.
I really enjoyed Brown Skin Girl and Mood for Life. Same reasons. Like I think it's so important to just represent Africans as like a whole. Like I think it was Mood for Life gave me a lot of feels.
It's Mood Forever, babes. Mood Forever.
Mood Forever. Sorry. But you know what I was talking about. So.
I know what you're saying. Trust me,
I really loved it. I really loved that video. that's so funny. So Mood Forever and Brown Skin Girl, and then definitely Already, Don't Jealous Me, My Power, same as you, Rizzy. I'm not gonna lie, I forgot it was a Beyonce production when the African I was like, oh, this is amazing. This is giving me life. Wizkid, Busiswa, like Nandi, Warren. Oh my god, Warren as Scar. Every time I see him on screen, he just blows my mind. So I was just like, fuck yes. So I completely forgot about Beyonce after that. I'm not gonna lie to you. Those were power. So yeah, those are my favorites.
I don't know. I feel like with the My Power music video, when Beyonce's in the red with her hairography, the way she reaches out to the screen, she's natural.
And the fireworks at the fireworks background. And I'm just like,
oh, what
are you doing? What is this?
It was like she was channeling something within her, because she did, the way she swung that hair, like she was rocking inches.
She wasn't here, guys. She like wasn't here. That scene, I need to have something good enough to replicate it. I don't know if it's my wedding, but I'm entering like.
If that appears at your wedding, I'm dead. You having your own solo like that?
Yeah.
No, I refuse. I'm going to start training for my solo.
The whole game has changed, Pooks. The whole game.
Seriously.
The whole game
has changed.
And also, just to add on to that, I also really liked how she included the Lion King like narrative in the movie.
Yeah,
that was really cute. I really liked that.
Yeah.
See, I thought that was like a distraction, like all of those interludes, like I did not understand what they were doing in between all these scenes. Like when I watched it a second time, I had to skip through them because I'm like, this is nonsense. Like, let's get straight to the action. Like, I didn't understand how it tied together. Like,
I thought that some of them were really beautiful. Yeah, I thought some of the like things that they said, like the voiceovers were quite beautiful and quite deep. And I think that in general, The Lion King as a movie, like, I think it's a deep movie, personally. Like, it's watching it in my adult age, I'm like, this is
and
actually
that's the whole story.
Movie. So, like,
That's my go-to movie in life. Yeah. I love it. It's my childhood movie.
Nice to know, friend. But I just thought that it was a nice balance. Like, the drama, I get the distraction part. But I thought that like there was a lot to take out of this in general. The art, the voiceover, the history, the everything. There's just a lot to take out of this. A lot.
I don't know if it was true, but I was reading that she did it because there's a guy.
Yeah.
Some sort of visual. Yeah. Who did some sort of visual kind of video like this for Lion King, and he didn't get any sort of credit. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of her motivation to kind of create something for the people connected to Lion King. I don't know how true that is.
Yeah. Because I feel like with Lion King, the first one and this remake, not a lot of, you've got this story that takes place in Africa, like has a lot of like African terminology, but you don't see Africans being included in that, both in the first one and in the second one. And now you have Black as King, and I feel like it makes right on both of those wrongs, because literally we've got these African artists now contributing to making this production, which in my opinion surpasses the effect that Lion King, though the second Lion King has, like on the kids that are watching this. Like if you as a little girl are watching Lion King, the remake on Disney versus Black as King, like what do you think is going to have the most impact on you and like your perception of yourself?
And I also like that it was Black people involved on screen and
off screen.
Of these artists who are Black, they don't have a lot of Black, like they don't have a Black team behind the scene. So I liked that as well, that almost everyone that was credited was of African descent of some way. So I enjoyed that.
Let's be touchy about credit, hey? Let's wait for, because she wasn't ready to credit them in the beginning. So.
Oh, really?
Oh. What do you mean by that, Jersey?
What I mean by that in Bali.
Bali's coming for you.
I mean,
you gotta Google that right now.
No. You know when everyone was talking about the fact that she wasn't gonna distribute, like I talk about credit as like acknowledgement and bringing it to a certain place where, like I know it's a different topic, like I don't want to jump the gun, but that's why I'm just like, that's why I slipped it in. I'm like, let's be tacky about credit, because I just, yeah, I would leave it for when we get to it. Hey. No, and Banisa, truth, you were even, we discussed this, friend.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And no, Bani, don't have amnesia. Don't know who take my power.
Into the next topic of cultural appreciation versus cultural appreciation.
Appropriation.
You definitely didn't. Okay, Coco just fact-checked me. Try that again. Cultural appropriation versus cultural appreciation. And where do you feel Black as King falls on that narrative? Because like I noticed that there were a lot of like Zulu references. So Mbali, do you want to start that off? Did you feel any way about that? Did you think it was done in a way that was appropriate? And
yeah, I think for me personally, it was culture appreciation. I think like I was proud to even have like, not even to even have, I'm already proud of my culture, but I think for it to be appreciated on that level by an artist like Beyonce or anyone in general, I think gives me pride. I think appropriation comes in when you don't give the right credit when it's due, when you don't, when there's no class to it, when you, there's no respect around the art that you're depicting, when it's literally for a personal gain. And in no way or shape or form did I think that it was within any personal gain or whatever. I really thought that this woman took the time to understand my culture in her, and in her narrative and her understanding, and wanted to be a part of it and appreciate it. So like, I loved it. I think there's a lot of Yoruba. I think it's a Nigerian. Yeah, it's a Nigerian language as well. And I just think she did justice to like everything in general. Like she jam-packed African cultures there. There was a lot of different African cultures. So for me, I think it is definitely cultural appreciation, not appropriation. I wouldn't feel this positive about it. That's how I truly felt. Yeah.
Belinda, did you feel like your thoughts on like the trailer versus what you saw in the film changed?
I think that, definitely on the topic of cultural appropriation, I agree with Mali. I don't think it was appropriation as much as it was a celebration, and it was a beautiful celebration. My issue will always come in with like people having access to this type of art and the fact that it's not accessible in certain countries that she is representing in this movie. That's just always going to be my problem with her and it. But yeah, definitely a celebration, not an appropriation. I will definitely say that. I felt celebrated in Black is King, but I don't appreciate that it's not available like easily.
But do you guys feel like
it's available?
Not really. Like we can stream it. We can stream it, but it's not available.
We can also only see it for certain purposes because you got Disney Plus, because yada yada this that on those platforms, not because it's like for every little, you know. Black, I don't know. Yeah, I question who's the audience. Who is it really for?
Exactly.
I think
exactly.
Like, exactly. I wish that more people.
And I know who the audience is. It's not Africans. It's African Americans. So, it is what it is.
I think that's a tough thing to say because I think the accessibility is not based off of her not wanting to make it accessible. I think it's economic constraints in general. Like if you look at the choice of where or what platform she chose DSTV or Mnet, which is the most widely used and subscribed to network in Africa. So the thing is that like, I feel
for one
that
day.
I feel like it's more of an accessibility issue in Africa. Like I think if everyone would make it a point for each African kid to see this, then that would be the onus on us. But I don't think that there was like a blockage. I think to a certain extent, she did listen to the cries of people saying, we actually want this to be accessible and viewed in Africa. Where or how, I think there's more that goes into that I think we're overlooking personally. I think there's a lot of intricacies in that. I think by now we should understand that she does make a point to do things when people feel offended by her or whatever the case, obviously in our own capacity, but I think we overlook the intricacies of accessibility in the space now. And maybe, who knows, looking forward, she might do something about it because everyone's always like, what does Beyonce say? But Beyonce doesn't reply on people's time. I'm sorry. She makes it meaningful and intentful. So I just personally feel like there's a lot of intricacies you're overlooking when it comes to accessibility of this kind of thing. And also, there's a lot of things, socioeconomic things that we need to go into when we talk about that. I'm just saying.
I agree with that because I was having the same conversation with my boyfriend. Spoiler alert, he's a white man. So,
I knew already. I saw him featured one of the videos.
You're watching the video, and I was telling him about our last podcast, how we were kind of like basically shitting on Beyonce, and how like a lot of the things that we were saying was that it wasn't accessible to the people that she's portraying in these videos. And he, that was the first thing that came out of his mind, which I had never actually thought of. But he was like, we don't know, just like you were saying, the intricacies of like the laws and the regulations and all of these things that she has to do to like have it accessible. Do I know anything about that? No. So I'm not gonna like talk about it like extensively, but the thought is there that there are a lot of like roadblocks.
Guys, this isn't some B-list singer out there.
No, that's not what we're saying. We're not saying it's B-list. We're not saying, no one is saying it's B-list.
Well, no, that's not what we're saying.
Of gatekeepers, there are plenty of issues to do with infrastructure and getting something like that out there. But I still feel like for the fact that like now it's going to places where now you have to subscribe and things like that, I still think there could have been other ways of going about it. I'm not saying that I don't recognize it and it's like some B-list film that, you know, I mean, we know it's Beyonce, we know it's like, it takes a lot, but I still think that that could have been more carefully curated if those are certain people that you are representing, and if those are people who you're also trying to possibly reach out to, or especially for a body of work like this, let me say. That's all.
I think what I'm just going to clarify what I'm trying to say is that you can't now start talking about, like, obviously there are those roadblocks when you talk about infrastructure in different like parts of the world that maybe don't have the infrastructure to support that. But I feel as though widely, if you wanted to put this out, the best way to do that is on the internet. If you're making this film with the purpose of a love letter to Africa, for the most part, the internet is probably the best way to reach the most amount of people. But instead of like, okay, you put it on the internet, no, but you put it behind Disney Plus, which has all of these like subscribers attached to it. There are other platforms that you can use that have a wider reach, like Netflix, like YouTube, that would have a wider reach than Disney Plus. So saying that, oh no, like, yeah, there are certain like obstacles that she might have encountered to get it to those people, but there are other ways that she could have gone about it.
And the fact that she didn't is the problem for me.
Yeah.
Or that it didn't happen that way is the problem for me.
Yeah.
And also, I was curious as to when she actually decided. Does anyone know whether it was initially just going to be on Disney Plus and then only because of the big hoo-ha, then it became like, oh, maybe Mnet too? Or was that like initially, I don't know if anyone's
after
read up about
hoo-ha.
That at all.
After the hoo-ha.
So I'm just
after the hoo-ha.
Allegedly.
How do you know? Allegedly. Allegedly. No.
The thing is, like, even though it's allegedly, the problem is it's out there. The problem is allegedly, even if it's not, it's out there that she did not have the intention to put it out on Mnet, on DSTV, etc. And the thing is, like, she took a lot from South Africa, and just as much she had the ability to come and educate herself about the culture and everything, also educate yourself about how this narrative will be distributed within these spaces that you're going to. I'm not saying that she has to be God. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you are saying, but seriously, if I'm gonna space a whole entire 80, whatever, how many minutes long that thing 100 was.
100 minutes.
But, 100 minutes. And on African content, I need to make sure that Africans are able to view this content.
Whenever
they want. But even if it's a teaser, doesn't have to be the whole entire thing if she cannot do it. But she needs to be able to give that content accessibility. And even on her website, yes, we have like access to the designers and all those people that contributed and everything. But if you're dealing with a narrative and a story, specifically a story, you need to make sure that story has accessibility to all those people that were contributors. And like, I just feel that it fell flat. So between cultural appropriation and cultural appreciation, the line is very blurred when it comes to how it was distributed. The music, the whole entire thing as a whole was beautiful. No matter what people can say, somebody had to do it and she did it. Well done to her. But in terms of distribution, she's an artist. She must think about distribution and how it gets accessible. So we would never be having this conversation if it wasn't on Mnet. Let's be honest. And that's because of privilege and DSTV. Mm. That's because of privilege.
But I have a question. Do you guys feel as though Black is King is for Africans or for African Americans?
African Americans.
African American. We know our culture.
We know our ancestors.
We know everything. We know everything.
That's like kind of trying to fill a gap ancestors. Or something, like make it like, yes. Oh, yeah, guys. It's a. Yeah,
it was not. It was beautiful. It was a very beautiful thing, what she did and everything. Like, I think it was nice to see our culture, like, appreciated the way it was appreciated.
That's
Vali, are you okay?
Yeah. No, that question is problematic for me because there should be no separation. Like the whole thing, the whole idea is to bring an overall appreciation for Africanism in general. So,
but Africans already have that appreciation.
Sorry?
Like Africans already have that appreciation. It's that missing
link. There's like, can I tell you, I'm not saying on a large scale that it isn't there, but I think for me personally, I feel that like we do have that appreciation, but it's very like, how do I say it? It's not as proudly shared as this has been from an artistic point of view. And I think in being in the forefront of it and on that level, I don't think it's the same. Like, I don't think we should be separating African-American and Africans in general when we ask that question. And I think that's the basis of like Black is King. It's just to actually acknowledge that Black people and Africans in general are king. Like we come from a place of pure royalty and pride type of thing. And I just think she depicted it in an artistic way, but I don't think it's for either or party. I think it's an overall appreciation. I don't think it should be separated or viewed as, is it African-American or African? That's just genuinely how I feel. I didn't look for that. What I saw was a lot of different versions of like African people being depicted and in their own way, and even in her own depiction of that. And I think that's allowed.
I think that it was more geared toward African Americans because I've never been to Africa. The closest thing I have is like you guys, honestly. And if I done this, I probably wouldn't know much. So yeah, I would say that I think it's geared toward more African, like African Americans. But I don't think that it's like a 100% like for African Americans. I think that it's great to show you guys and like children and stuff, like look at us, like look at our culture, our language, like everything about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think it's definitely geared more towards the African American audience, which also probably plays into why it's only accessible to African Americans.
Yes, exactly.
So I like watching it, and especially with like what's happening in America right now, I think that also is just another added layer to why I feel that it is more towards like African Americans rather than Africans. So I don't, there's not much to say about it. I think it was very clear that it was more for African Americans.
Yeah. And you can even tell in, you know, in the poetry that was being recited and like the voice of the little boy at the beginning, you know, basically
yes.
saying, look, I don't understand why I'm feeling this way. I'm feeling frustrated. I don't understand what is missing in my life. And you know, that's a very serious question, but in Africa we have always had a connection with our ancestors. It's a daily practice, you know what I mean? Mm. So yeah, with just those like little nuances, you could see that she was talking to a people that have that gap, that are searching for something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful reminder for me to see the landscape of Africa, etc., and just those things that I forgot about, you know what I mean? And our forests and everything, because you know about it, but you forget how beautiful it actually really, really is. But like, I think, why are you smiling at that, Luwendo? Is there a reason? Hey,
how do you feel about the fact that it was shot in Belgium, the UK, LA, Nigeria, South Africa.
I was gonna ask about that because there was a lot of scenes.
All the imagery from Africa. Like, I think some of it was in the Grand Canyons. Like, that's not.
Yeah, she did say the list was quite wild. They traveled the world.
African.
It was a world tour. They had how many
African countries?
They had three.
South Africa.
Oh my God! I thought that was Africa.
No.
I'm sorry. That was so ignorant. You see, because I thought it was based on Black is King.
It's irritating. Yeah.
I thought it was. I thought because it was based on like an African story, it was only going to be shot within Africa. I didn't think she would extract beauty in terms of the landscape in particular, because that's what actually makes Africa beautiful, is the landscape. So I didn't think that's unnecessary. You see, to me, that's unnecessary. That's an unnecessary extraction of information. Unnecessary. Because that's also another thing I didn't like, hey, about seeing all, like, she made very sure she showed the rural developments within Johannesburg, but nothing else. I didn't like that. Yes, we've got our problems, but yo, we've also got a lot of beautiful things, and I thought that beauty was taken from us, so now I'm a bit happy.
I also feel like it's commendable that she was able to portray beauty in like very like unpolished like sort of settings. Like, I wasn't offended by that. Like, I wouldn't have wanted her shooting in like, I don't know, I just find beauty in like unconventional places instead of like...
No, but that's fine. It's fine that she found the beauty in that as well. But the fact that she didn't find what we define as beautiful as beauty within the like African landscape, that's where it's problematic. Because then you only find beauty in what's actually gritty, but not beauty in the landscape. That's why I'm just like, oh, okay. Never knew it was from Belgium, Grand Canyon. Okay.
She was serving you visuals, honey.
I'm gone.
And she left the building. I'm dead by her. I'm dead.
But I also feel like maybe we're looking too deep into this. Like, I think you want this product to be something more than what it's actually capable of being. And I feel as though if you look, because the way I see it, like, I don't need those dialogues in between. Like, I think it muddles the message. I think some of, like, the poetry was a bit contrived. But when you look at... the imagery of like the music videos, like, I understand the message without having those interludes. I understand the message through the visuals. And I think Black is King is just like a visual experience, a visual just feast. The cinematography is epic. The looks, like, over 75 looks she is serving. So I think you kind of have
and
to.
And it wasn't about the story then for you. It was about the visual, like you're saying. So it's because then that's problematic that if it's just about the visual for you, because
then she could have done anything.
Then she could have done any other music video. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're solely focusing on the visuals and just about the content, like in terms of looks, because you keep going on about the looks, but not about the messages and everything, that's problematic.
But I don't think she needs to have those interludes to describe to you that, oh, this music video is showing appreciation to Black culture, Black history, Africa, and African history. You don't need those interludes.
But you do. You do. If you are saying that in America, that and especially in the African American community, there's not enough connection in terms of ancestry and everything, then that narrative is important. Surely.
Because also remember, Lou.
Can I just ask one question? Are you guys
saying, remember, she is. She yeah.
I'm just. If are you guys saying that without the, if it was just the visuals of the music videos, you wouldn't have been able to understand the message that she's trying to get across?
Because remember, she's trying to tell the story. She's trying to tell the Lion King story. In the context of the American, in the context of the African American child or son or boy or whatever. So she's trying to marry those two narratives because she obviously feels like they go hand in hand. So for me, that's what the whole I movie was based on. And that's the narrative that she was trying to tell with the music videos and stuff. Like even if you listen to the album, that's a narrative that comes out, but she obviously needed to tie in the Lion King story and the African-American, the story of the African-American child. So it all goes together in one. If you're just looking at it as a beautiful like depiction of like, oh, let's celebrate everything that's black, she could have done that in Beverly Hills and
Memphis. Yeah.
You know, with one music video.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, but she is purposefully. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it's a purposeful video. Like I like the fact that she had those breaks and she narrated a story to us, you know? And I thought that it's important to narrate. Like, it doesn't make sense for me if it's only music videos. You need the narration there. You need it. Even if it's bad or good, I like the fact that she put it in there. It was a story.
I feel like the narration now adds that, like, extra level of expectation in terms of like what you're expecting from this product.
Responsibility. It adds responsibility. And she knew that when she was making this movie. She knew that.
So what are we saying?
We're saying that you can't just look at it as a visual experience. It's a beautiful visual experience, but there's a story that is very important that she's telling at the same time.
In the music. Like there's... You guys honestly feel like those interviews were essential to the progression of the storyline of Black is King. And without those, it would have been like a superficial project.
I don't think it would have been superficial. I think that the narrative has helped has elevated the project as a whole and kind of tied it up. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Like that song, something about like, you're destined for something bigger. What's that song, Bali? Help me.
Bigger.
It's called Bigger. That one. Like I felt like that was... like, for example, I felt like that was clearly, tying into what that little kid was saying in the beginning about, like, not really knowing where he's from and, like, and just, like, the whole, like, idea of, like, Simba and the... And the beginning of the Lion King story, like that was so clear for me. And I wouldn't have made those connections without the first sort of like voiceover and the story about Simba and also the visual and the song. Like it goes hand in hand. And that's like one example. And all of those songs basically like, you know, add to the narrative and vice versa.
And you cannot have an African story without an orator. You can like, so Africans are like poetic, you know, they just like, you know, like.
What?
No, I'm serious, you know, and I love telling story. In the beginning, there was, you know, like, that's how it's supposed to be. Like, why, and that's the whole thing of Disney, once upon a time. And now, to take that beginning and use it as an African thing, there's purpose. That's a very purposeful act in doing so, and we cannot take it as just like child's play, you know. Otherwise she could have done a collaboration with MTV. There's a reason why she did it on Disney, because Disney is the first point of access for every child to get access to. Storytelling is the most important thing for any child, and she purposely used Disney. And I think that in the beginning I was saying that it's wrong that she used whatever, but I think that because I have a nostalgia, there's a certain thing nostalgia about that in the beginning, you know, when you see the Disney thing, like like that thing, it's like it's a trigger for nostalgia, and then people associate it to Cinderella, who's white, all those other stories, you know. And I think that she purposely did Black is King on Disney and the stories interluding for a reason. It's a story. It's an animation, as they say. Whatever. It's not an animation, but you know what I mean.
From Amber Ruffin, which I took from Mbali's Instagram, and it goes, the best part about Black is King is when you watch Brown Skin Girl wondering how much he can cry before becoming concerned about the damage Eurocentric standards of beauty may have had on him.
Yeah, like I said before, that's exactly how I viewed it. as I was watching it. It was kind of like a happiness to sadness to anger to back to happiness feelings as I was watching the video. Because like I said, I'm just thinking back at like my, like what I saw growing up. Like I mean, I know my mom tried her best to give me like black dolls or whatever, but most of my dolls were pretty white. They had straight hair. You know what I mean? Like I didn't have much of representation of like me growing up. So when I saw the visuals for the video, it was definitely a game changer, because when I heard the song, like I said, without even looking at the visuals, without even like seeing anything, I found it like one of like a throwaway song. I don't really care for those kinds of songs. I find them very cheesy and like not necessary, but I personally don't like them. But then when I saw the video and I saw all of the women and the girls and Blue and all of the black celebrities and just all the black Africans just sitting there and their regalness, it was really beautiful, honestly. And then proud, like I felt very proud. And then, yeah, like I said, it just went down to sadness after that. But then it skyrocketed back up to happiness and proudness. So it was a bunch of emotions as I watched it. Yeah.
And I think one of like my biggest takeaways when I watched Brown Skin Girls, because I agree with you, like I did not care for the song, like the message, like I get it. But the moment I saw those visuals, I couldn't help but think like, the younger kids that are watching this, like they get the best version of Beyonce. They get the Beyonce that I wish I could have had growing up. Like someone that's just embracing all of these aspects about who you are that you hadn't even heard before. Like now talking about how coily hair is beautiful, nappy hair is beautiful. Like where was that when I was like busy putting relaxer in my hair for like years? Like that's just crazy. This of thinking, and just to imagine what their mentality is. How are you going to come for a dark-skinned girl and tell her that she's not beautiful when Beyonce is out here saying that you're royalty, that you're gorgeous? Like, even though, like, maybe some people don't need that affirmation, but I can't help but think that would have been nice. That could have, like, clarified a couple of issues that I had growing up. It made me upset, but then at the same time, like, whoever's young and watching this, like, shout out to you.
It was like a selfish kind of anger, like, damn, man, like, I grew up fucked up. And then, like, it was kind of like, you know, it's really not about me anymore. Like, it's about these young little girls, and, like, it's fine.
I thought it was, just the song in general, let me say, like, I think I had the similar, like, response of being like, okay, brown skin girl, whatever. But when I saw the video, I thought it was really touching. And also just, yeah, I definitely had mixed feelings about it, because I guess within our selfishness, it is a thing of like, well, it would have been nice if, you know, there were more artists like this when we were growing up, or just thinking of, you know, people, the representation and what this might mean for someone else growing up right now and being able to see black people look like that, black people being celebrated, black people just in the spotlight, something just very, very, very gutsy and very, very black, just, you know, as a whole product, not as just like a sprinkle or we'll just put it on surface level, just something very black and beautiful and for the, and you know, for women, and just, you know, so yeah, I had similar emotions or feelings towards it, but I guess I'm just glad that, you know, a product like that can be created at this stage, and you know, we can see it, and it's okay for us to see it, and it's also okay for us to kind of celebrate it and enjoy it, just because like black is beautiful, or black, it doesn't mean anything about the rest of y'all. We're not bothered about the rest of y'all. We're bothered about us, which is nice.
And even how the like music video opened up with like the debutante scene. I've seen that in so many films, and it's like all white, all white. Maybe one black girl with her white partner is included, but just to see like an all black debutante ball, like simple, but like the fact that we haven't even seen it is crazy. And if you think of like what a debutante ball is, it's like reserved for like high society people that come from good families. And the fact that we haven't, and it's so simple, haven't seen yourself in that sort of setting, like it makes you, it just makes you quit.
I think I've seen it in some films, but it's very like specific, I would say. But the whole debt, because I think that, I mean, the debutante, well, what do you call it? Not a community, but I think that kind of practice, I think it's also very rich within like African-American communities and whatever, but I just don't think it's like, yeah, it's that necessarily celebrated or put out there. I could be wrong. I don't know, but that's just my experience. I've seen it sprinkled around.
I was about to say, don't African-Americans have quite a strong like HBCU culture? So aren't there like black Debs balls and black sort of like, I mean, entire colleges, entire like universities that exist that side? I don't know, like how extensive is it?
But I think it's also, you have to be exposed to it and you have to like know of it.
Yeah.
Like growing up, I didn't know any of that. So I opted to go to just a generic all white, not all white, but majority white university. And then now that I am aware of these kind of universities, I still in my head, I'm like, I wish I had like known about this. I wish I had like gone to some like university like that. We definitely have those kinds of things, but I think it's not accessible for everyone to know about it.
I don't think it's affiliated with schools. I think it's like affiliated with like high society, like,
And maybe where you come from and your family and your family, and the family lineage or whatever.
Specific situation. It's like very high society.
It's
so
passed down from your parents.
What
gets passed down from like the mother?
And it gets passed. Do you want to say it?
It's just like from your mother. So like if your mother was a debutante, you're probably going to be also.
So
but
systematically oppressed, like that doesn't get passed down.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that obviously if you have a historically all black college, chances are you're going to have parents who can send their children to these colleges who come from a certain like type of like background. Does that make sense? So if you obviously have the privilege to go to a HBCU, are you not already sort of within a certain type of society or class level?
Well, I can also say, I'm thinking back at my college tour, like, you know, when, well, I don't know if you know, but like we go on like a college tour in our like our second to last year of our high school year. I remember we went to an HBCU university, but then we also went to like one of the bigger, more grander, like better equipped and like had more resources university right next door. So it was also one of those things where it's like, yeah, you can opt to go to this HBCU that is really great, but you probably want to go to University of Florida that has all of these resources and all of these backings and all of these like certificates for like whatever greatness that comes out of that university. So I think it's also that as well.
Yeah, and also debutante ball isn't at the college level. It's like a woman coming of age. So it's like around 16 years old that you have a debutante ball. So it's not like, I don't wanna.
I love it. Never change it for anybody else. And brown skin girl, skin just like pearl, it's the best thing in the world. You never change it for anybody else. Singing. She says she really grew up all like me. Don't believe in nothing but the Almighty. Just a little jeans and a pure whitey. She never dreamed forever be nobody wifey.
This is a celebration of black heritage and beauty, the spirituality of nature, the connective threads of the diaspora, the resplendence of bodies, hair, and skin. Blackness has been deemed for so long that seeing it displayed so proudly and so magnificently feels like a political act as its own. Even more with the backing of such an all-American brand like Disney. The film's value is mostly aesthetic, but there are lessons beneath the surface. Do you guys agree with that or no?
I agree.
So you agree that it's mostly aesthetic, but there are some lessons beneath the
surface. No, jokes. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, I'll elaborate. Sorry, I was just trying to read it.
Can you repeat the question, Lou?
Okay, so I'm going to basically go to the last bit, and it says, the film's value is mostly aesthetic, but there are some lessons beneath the surface.
I think it's definitely aesthetic. I think the traditional, as like opulent as it is, it's very opulent. Let's be honest, we don't dress like that as we can. And if the whole thing is like about Black is King, I think a lot of it had to do with like fashion design. A lot of it had to do with very high tech, pictures and basically. So I definitely think that there was a lot of it based around the aesthetic. The aesthetic was beautifully done. But it obviously, a lot of it isn't very African. Even the African things were quite Europeanized type of, the way even the light was used, the way even some of the Nigerian outfits were used and stuff. There was a lot of styling around that, but it wasn't African styling. It was more European and stuff. And I think the underlying depth will come from what you take from it. I think... whatever perspective you take from it, how enjoyed it or didn't enjoy it, that's when your depth or not find it type of thing. But I think there was definitely a lot of aesthetic, a lot of aesthetic. That is undeniable. Balmain was a main feature there. We have no Balmain in Africa. He's not even an African designer. Like, yeah, definitely.
Wait, do you guys agree with this? Because you guys were coming for me when I said it was like the visuals, was what held up this whole Black is King production. Yeah, sigh is what I get.
I think that's a fair thing to say. Can I tell you why I think that sometimes? Before the actual thing came out, the visual album came out, I loved the photography. The visuals in the photography, the styling and everything before I heard or saw anything, any poetry, any songs, any whatever, it was amazing. Then I watched it and I won't lie, to a certain extent, I expected more from like a lot because the visuals were a lot. Like the visuals were like impeccable. The levels there were like impeccable. So I kind of expected more because of the visuals. Not to take any credit away from it, I still think it was a beautiful production, but I think it's a fair statement to me because that's how I saw the actual pictures and then the whole production itself.
Literally, and when you look at the standard that Beyoncé has put for herself, when you think of the visual album that Lemonade was, all of the interludes that were involved with that, how it was connected, and then you also go and look at Homecoming on Netflix and how that has just an epic proportion and it's so thought out, it's so well connected. Like you can't help but feeling like a little bit, it already was such a beautiful project, but again, you're comparing it to like what she's done in the past. Like, I don't even want to talk about like songwriting and whatnot, but like you can't help but feel as though the strongest part of this Black is King are the visuals that were associated with it and the meaning and the narrative that those visuals were able to extract. Because I bet you like you won't be able to remember every line of that poetry, but you will remember the looks, you will remember those visuals, the ones that moved you. So it's like, I don't think that's an unfair assessment to say that the strongest aspect of Black is King is the visual part of it, the cinematography, the looks. She had over 75 looks and every single one of them slayed. She had all these like different hairstyles that are like an homage to African culture, like in so many different parts of it. And I think that's where the strength lies in, that she was able to create these visuals am able to bring pride or just the reminder of like, yeah, we did that, like as a continent and not necessarily just where you're from.
Yeah, I guess. But like at the end of the day, you needed the even if you do feel like they fell flat, whatever, you needed those little narratives in between. Otherwise, it might as well have been on MTV. Do you know what I mean? But like, I do think that at the end of the day, like, I don't know. I think that the aesthetics were very amazing. Like, it was a photographic experience. So there were point, like, everything was beautifully done. Like, it was very, very beautiful. I left with a visual assault. I was visually assaulted. But like, at the end of the day, like, it's beautiful. You can't help it. At the end of the day, like, a story doesn't have to just be said. It can also be visual as well. So I think that, yes, it was aesthetically pleasing. Maybe I'm going to contradict myself. No, but like at the end of the day, I do think that we can't take for granted the fact that she was the narrator in all of this. You know what I mean? Like, she was trying to produce a story. And at the end of the day, I don't know, guys. I don't know.
I'm not saying that she
did. No. Yeah. I think you're not underplaying every other aspect of it. It's just the fact that the visual aspect upheld it very high. The fact that she even described it as being visually assaulting. And think about it. Even when you describe like a song to me, you describe the visual first. So
yes, I did.
It's just the point of saying that, like, from a visual aspect, it actually had a bigger effect in general.
Yes. So then is that a good or bad thing? Is that a good or bad thing?
I think I had a problem with the fact that she created,
like, I know you guys can come for me, but whatever. But, like, you know, at the end of this whole entire thing, then she had a thing, like, I want to credit this solely to my son. And, like, a video of a son. I was like, I'm just confused because I thought, I was just a bit confused by that. So then I stopped and I was like, okay, well, I thought it was going to be credited to everyone, but
my God.
No, but when you think of king, when you think of black as king, you don't think of just like, I was a bit shocked by that. But no, anyway. Really. And then,
it's Sir Carter.
I was just a bit shook by that. But anyway, what I wanted to say about the visual thing, like, I do think that the greatest value was the visual things, whatever, the aesthetics. But I think that we also can't downplay the value of what the message was behind it. You know what I mean? Even though visually it was very appealing, whatever, but there's a message.
That's still a message.
Yeah, like, for me, yeah. Sorry.
But I don't know if that's a good or bad thing now.
I don't think it's necessarily a good or bad thing.
Yeah, it's just
an I think you can appreciate the visual. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because even like what you were saying about just listening to brown skin girls, like that visual tied in the message and reinforced it even harder to the point that I can listen to brown skin girls without rolling my eyes because I have that visual. Mm-hmm. I know the intent behind it. I know the history behind what I'm used to seeing versus what I was delivered in that music video. You can't help but like, just like help but feel that some of those visuals helped reinforce the messages of that song. And some of the songs that I just press skipped on, now I'm like bumping hard, like Water by the Umse Pharrell. But like, that's such a bop. And like, I still see the visuals in my head. Like, it's so reinforced right now. So I don't think you can take away the effect vocals have. And like, it carried the story. And I do not think that's a bad thing. And when you look at Beyonce's, like her track record and compare it to like Lemonade and Homecoming, you can't help but feel like that level of like intent, like, I don't know. It was just like something missing from the bar that she's already set for herself. And not to say that it's a bad thing. It's still like epic. Mm. Beyonce does a bit more than epic, you know?
Mm. I think in her lane, she surpassed her lane. She crossed borders in her lane. Like, she's really in her own level. She's on her own level, respect to her kind of thing. But Yeah, it's just like what I don't know now, because like now I'm thinking about content and the distribution of content. Like, obviously I'm not trying to put her as the forefront of it, but now she's set forth what is then important. Is the visuals that we get distributed of Africa important? Because now you're talking about that aesthetic experience, yet I associated some of those experiences that I had aesthetically to Africa, yet it wasn't even within Africa. So what does that do to our consciousness?
Pride that you felt when you watched it?
Yeah, it didn't, but like I don't know, I think that should with this video, do you have to watch it, is it supposed to just be for enjoyment, or you're supposed to leave for with something, you know, like I like to a certain extent. Hey,
it's all in the eye of the beholder. Like, you take from it what you want.
It's actually you what you're gonna take from it.
Yeah, I think it's really about perspective and like what you want to take from it, what the intention is that you want from it. Yeah, because for me, the visuals aren't strong enough on their own without the story. I would not have connected with Black is King like I did if I did not have the story behind the visuals.
Yeah,
and that's true. Just like me, that's just how I like absorb information. Yeah, and other people are more visual, so it's really
that I think that's the same with me. I wouldn't have experienced it the same if it was just the songs
and the context and the references. Yeah, like all that stuff is really important to me for me to be like, oh shit, I connected with this. Whereas if I see Beyonce looking beautiful, she looks beautiful every day, I could just go to Instagram. You know. So,
closing comments.
I mean, I guess after this conversation, it definitely is eye-opening with how I took the video. I think I'm definitely now more on the fence with the visuals. Yeah, because I think there were some parts where I really was only focused on the visuals and not really the story behind the visuals. I think I got caught up in most of the video with like her looks and just her hair and the moves and the dancing and whoever else was part of that scene or whatever. So I think I got caught up with that with some of the moments, which I fear can be lost with other people who are looking at the video. Like I don't know if the message would be clear to a lot of other people who are watching the video. But then I hear Brown Skin Girls and then I see the visual and it just makes complete sense. And I needed that visual to understand the song. I think it really is just whoever is watching it and what you take from it, because there's a lot to unpack from it. And I think there's enough for you to take something from it. So... overall, I think the overreaching thing, I think, is a positive thing rather a negative thing. So I think that in itself is a success.
I definitely agree with that, you know, your take of it, what you know, how you perceive things, in terms of, you know, I've shared my critiques or my thoughts about certain things, but I also feel that it's brought more positives than negatives. And within that, like Brianna said, I think that's something to be proud of. And I think I just, in terms of, you know, other artists creating and whatever, I hope that we'll get a chance to see more like this. It won't just be happening in a blue moon where we're waiting for, you know, Beyonce to do something else that's going to be wonderful. I hope that, you know, moving forward, we'll see more of our Blackness being celebrated in such aggressive. It's not even aggressive. It's just, I think we're just not used to seeing ourselves. So, like, you know what I mean? So I hope that getting more of that will become more of a norm, not this, like, wonderful, you know, this wonderful piece of work that we get every couple of years.
Overall, I thought it was a great piece. I enjoyed it. Before this, I didn't take that. It's super easy for me to just click on Disney Plus and be like, bam, it's right there anytime I want to. And how for you guys, it's a little bit harder. I think Belinda was saying like for like one day it was up or something and you got to try to stream it and do all this other stuff. But I like the message behind it. I like all of the people that were involved, from stylists to choreographers, just everything. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think it was, it definitely was a celebration, and it was beautiful. I really appreciated, you know, I actually didn't realize how many South African creatives were involved, and like not all like huge, like Blitz is not even that like famous. I was like, geez, this guy is literally like, so I was very happy to see certain faces on there, like yeah, people that I didn't expect to be in the movie were in there, and I was very happy about that. And yeah, just like as PK said, I hope that we're not waiting for another Beyonce moment for this stuff to happen. I hope that the industry opens up globally to Africans. I hope that Africans have a little bit more access to creating things, you know, in like in America and whatever, and with Beyonce and with, you know, whoever creatives were involved in the making of Black is King. And I just really hope that that becomes more of a like a frequent thing, and we're not waiting for another Disney Plus movie to have, you know, African creatives put on the map like this. But yeah, I'm hopeful, and it was a beautiful celebration, and I'm happy that Jay-Z made an appearance. I love him.
I'm concerned that I'm joking. For me, my final thoughts is just that I think it's undeniable that I think, for like everyone has said, it had a positive reaction or positive effect on people for the most part. And I think that was the intention. I think it's good that it sparked a lot of conversation around Africa and African artists and accessibility and all of that. And I think it did its job. Whether it's negative criticism or good criticism, I think it sparked a good thing in Africans and in Africa and whoever else is going to see it worldwide type of thing. I think that whether you say something good or bad about it, it's the right conversation to have. So I think Beyonce did her job, and I'm personally like a forever fan. So there's nothing wrong she can do. So I loved it. And yeah, I'll work on the distribution, Belinda. Don't worry.
I'm dead. Please and thank you. Please and thank you.
What are your final thoughts, comments?
I agree with everyone. I do think it was really good. I think it was important. I think that I'm gonna even listen to the album just by itself again now. It just gave me more room to listen to it. But I think that was beautiful. I think that she did an amazing thing. I think that we don't even think about collaboration as Africans in general a lot. And I think that the whole thing that I got is how she collaborated with so many different people, and there's so many networks, there's just a community that I found within that whole entire assemblage that she put together. And I just thought that there's just there's so much content and so much Africa has to offer, but also the United States or whatever, if we all bring our heads together, whether you're African American, it doesn't matter. Like, I think that we've all got so much to share with one another that we can only benefit. And I think that this was a very symbolic thing or representation of that. So yeah, that's all.
I think most engrossed by the visual aspect of it. And I think that scale of creativity to put those images together, the cinematography, like she has to get some sort of nomination for that, because you don't see that level of artistry. Like, you really don't when it comes to projects that have so many Black creatives involved. Like, it was inspiring, like being able to see backup dancers and like women there that look like you, look like your mom, look like your grandma. Like, there was just so much representation. And it was beautiful to see. And I think, again, like I've been saying the whole time, like the visual was the strongest part for me, and it had the strongest message for me. And that's what I take away. Like, she served looks, guys. like straight looks throughout the whole thing. So I mean, like, shout out to her, shout out to the message, and I'm not mad by it, but I think I have like leveled expectations from what I'm getting from it, and I'm not trying to like make it out to be this like production and like try to take too much away from it, because I think it dilutes just what a huge creative feat she was able to accomplish. So yeah, I am not mad.
Just one thing, is it awkward that Solange wasn't in there,
right?
Is it awkward?
And Michelle.
Okay, yeah, well.
Michelle could have stayed at home wherever she was.
Yeah, she could have at least done a strat nyana, Michelle shame.
But like Solange, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not mad at
Was she in Lemonade? Was Solange in Lemonade?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, you should have had a little cameo for Solange.
Yeah,
I think she should have done something with
that. Would have been nice, especially for brown skin girl when it was like the mother, blue, and
literally the whole family.
Yeah,
literally the whole family.
Anyway.
Baby, oh. I'm not much of a talker, baby, oh, can I drink from your water, baby, oh, meet me down by the river, we can dance to the rhythm, till the sun is high and the water runs dry,
guess we can make it fun.